Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olivier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. And you're back for another divine intervention tasting of some hopefully very nice wines from the Cape, South Africa's gorgeous wine-producing region. Today, they're from a producer called Molyneux, which is a bit French to pronounce, but hopefully it'll go well on the palate when we try the wines themselves. Talking us through the wines in Cape Town, we have Michael Olivier. Michael, great to chat to you.
Hi, John, thank you.
Michael, of course, is a wine writer, food writer, all sorts of stuff, and a jolly nice bloke. Here in the Joburg studio with me, we have somebody who's representing the Molyneux stable in the wine trade, Debbie van Flyman from Grape Slave. Debbie, great to talk to you again.
Thanks for having me, John.
And of course, Debbie is a master of Cape wine. A master of watching the budget, our Scottish visitor, Chris Gilmore. Chris from ABSA, great to see you.
Thank you, John. Good to be here.
And from Wine Menu, it's a recent change of name, certainly since the last time we chatted to her, or our last batch of chats with her. Colleen Morris, great to see you.
Thank you.
And last yet again, we have Jeremy Sampson. Jeremy, lovely to see you. Okay, let's get on with the tasting. Our first wine is a white. Tell us about it, Michael.
Right, this is the Molyneux White Blend Old Vines 2014. What I like most about this wine is the provenance of the grapes and the age of the vineyards. And of course, they're in the Swartland, so a lot of the soils around the Kasteelberg are decomposed shale and schist soils. It's made up of four of different components. Chenin Blanc from a 35-year-old vineyard and two parcels of 40 and 70-year-old Buschwein Chenins, which is amazing, plus an 80-year-old Claret Blanche vineyard, and then there's some Viognier, and then Semillon Gris, which is a I suppose grey Semillon, but the bunches actually have a sort of a russety redness to them. So the grapes come in, they're separately vinified for later blending. They're pressed whole bunch, which of course gives you a much softer ultimate flavor in your wine. And then they go straight to barrel for fermentation using the natural yeasts of the vineyards. And this could take anything up to 2 months, this kind of fermentation. The barrels are third and fourth full of French oak, and then there's a new 2,000-litre food that they used as well. The wine is a lovely colour. I would have thought it might be slightly more golden than straw. If you get it up to your nose, you just have this mass of wonderful sort of lime, and there's lovely sweet brown sort of winter spices. Once you get it into your mouth, you've got this sort of medium to full, beautifully, beautifully complex, lots of layers of different textures as the whole thing unwinds in your mouth. Pears, nuts, and then those lovely white-fleshed peaches just on the perfect point of ripeness. Nice finish, long, sort of a little bit of a whisper of a spice at the end there. It's just such a stunner. It's wonderful as a glass on its own, as a sort of a wine to contemplate by, but of course great with food.
Well, Michael, my first reaction was that this reminds me of a lot of some of the finest wines I've drunk in France.
I'm not surprised.
It's so complex. I know the grapes are different and the blend of grapes is different. That little bit of oaking, which you can detect quite readily. I think this is a smashing, complex, gorgeous glass of wine. Well done. But well done to Debbie as well, because you've chosen Molyneux as one of your elite stable of producers who you are bringing to the Gauteng market. Did Michael get any of that right? I know there was a lot of waffle about how it's made, but did he get it right about how it tastes?
Well, how it tastes is a matter for you all to tell me, because at the end of the day, everybody's noses and palates are different. And I would agree, I have picked up a lot of the similarities to the comments Michael's made. Incidentally, Chris and Andrea Molyneux, a husband and wife winemaking team behind these wines, are the Plata Winery of the Year for 2016. They were in 2014 as well, so twice in 3 years.
Just to interrupt you, Plata is the South African wine Bible for anyone who's listening to this in Hong Kong.
Well, it's a good
story. Doesn't know the Plata publication. I think it's also online these days as well.
I love the complexity about this wine. I think it drinks magnificently well at the moment, and I think it's got a long trajectory ahead of it. I've had the benefit of tasting the older vintages on a fairly routine basis, and they've held together extremely well. It's that complexity, it's the textures, it's that beautiful creaminess on the mid-palate that you pick up here. And every time you come to the glass, it entices you to have another sip. And it's got that ever so slight salinity on the finish, which just makes your mouth water. And so I think this is very, very cleverly made and produced, and they're doing some incredible things. I do want to shamelessly plug their wine club. It is indeed the only wine club that I am a member of in all of South Africa.
Well, that was pretty shameless, thank you.
The reason for that is because the experimental barrels that they make of each of the individual cultivars that make up some of these wines get bottled for wine club members. They're not commercially available. And so you have an opportunity to taste and see what these two phenomenal winemakers are doing.
Chris Gilmore, we heard about a long trajectory, but I noticed that when you're pouring the wine, it's a very short trajectory from large bottle into large glass. Are you enjoying this?
This is wonderful. There's only one way to describe this, is lekker. You know, it really is. It's just such a lovely mouthful. I mean, you can almost chew your way through this. It's just absolutely gorgeous. And I'm not a great white wine fan by any stretch of the imagination, but this is something very, very special.
Jeremy, like you, this is elegant and complex. What are your thoughts?
Well, I also have to admit to being a member of the Molyneux Wine Club, as I have been for a couple of years, because this to me is royalty. You know, if you were to say give it 5 stars, I'd say, well, why not 6? It really is
delicious. Because that's not good maths.
Isn't it good maths? No, I never was good at it. You know, I'm a brander, you know that. But also I'd say this is a wine NFS, not for spitting. It is absolutely delicious.
Colleen, I notice you have done a lot of spitting, even though I know part of your job involves gulping back far too much wine, so you have to spit a bit.
Yeah, one needs to know when to spit and when to swallow, you know? This is one of those that don't do the injustice to the wine of getting rid of it. I think everybody around the table has already said everything that needs to be said about this wine, but this is the... this is the divine part of your interventions, I think. This is really the thing that makes wine so enjoyable. This is like the royalty that you guys spoke about. It's got that beautiful upfront freshness. It gives you the impression when you smell it the first time, oh my goodness, there's something amazing going to come through here. You know, just from the first smell to the last sip, that this is something really, really good. And I want to pick up on the salinity that Debbie spoke about. There's also this sort of lovely taut, dry finish. It's voluptuous on the nose and on the palate, but then it's got this lovely taut, dry finish, which is just, it also just gives me that indication of, you know, there's many years in this bottle. So if you buy these, if you buy one of these and you one of those people that forgot the bottle in the back of your little stash of wine, it's okay. It's okay if you find this bottle 10 years later. It's going to give you so much more. So yeah, it's one of those. Keep it, guys.
And of course, Michael, going back to my initial comments, one superb thing about the South African wine industry is what amazing variety we have. We have everyday drinkable plonk. We have elegant stuff like this. We make good bubbly. If we go to say an area of France, the wines are all pretty much the same between neighbours. Here in South Africa, we really can diversify.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the work that the people like Chris and Andrea Molyneux, the work that they're doing is seeking out these old vineyards and these wonderful old grapes. I mean, Rosa Kruger, who's a well-known viticulturist, has done such wonderful work logging all the old vineyards. And people like the Molyneux hoover these grapes up and turn them into magic.
Okay, well, from magic to our next wine, which hopefully will be equally magical, we're staying with Molyneux. This is a red. Tell us about it, Michael.
Well, again, you know, the soils around the Castilberg are, the, you know, as I said earlier, the shale and the schist, and these already start producing stunning wine. They've got two little vineyards there of dryland bush vines, which of course is what you want with when you're producing great wine. You want small berries. You want a high ratio of skin to juice, so that you get lots and lots of flavor going on there. These come from separate Shiraz vineyards, and so they again vinify them separately. So that they can blend them right at the end. And then, of course, the fermentation takes place with indigenous yeast, and then immediately the wine is drained and pressed, taken to barrel for malolactic, and then left in trench oak barrels. A 2,000-litre food with the 225 and 500-litre barrels, just for 14 months, 15% of the wine is new wood. Lovely, beautiful colour, sort of blood plum at the core, which pales out to sort of ruby garnet at the edges. And once you get it up to your nose, you've got the sort of oranges that you get at Christmas time that have cloves stuck in them that have been dried up. There's lots of lovely black berries, roadside brambles there as well, and purple flowers. And then this incredible palate, which is just so full and so plentiful and so generous. Yet it's a bit like a racehorse that's being sort of held back. It's got this wonderful texture, smooth, silken texture, and this incredible long aftertaste with tannins that are so beautifully integrated to the wine. I mean, I just really can't say enough about this wine.
I think you have, Michael. My turn. Yes, there's a contrast between the white and the red for me. They are both immensely complex, immensely impressive wines. The white is drinking superbly now, and as we've heard, has great age potential. I think we're drinking the red a little bit too early. Am I right, Debbie? Wrong?
I think this is definitely going to improve over time. They are very shortly releasing the 2014 different vintage, which is a very different kind of vintage to 2013. And so we've spoken in the past about the effect of vintages on a wine. I love the complexity in this glass. It is from three unique soil types. They do produce on iron, on schist, and on granite. And they, in addition to this wine, make a very small amount of each of those terroir-specific wines on an annual basis. In fact, again, the current platter wine of red wine of the year is the Molyneux Iron. But when you put all of those individual parcels together and you come up with what's in your glass, the complexity here is endless. I sort of feel this is a skein of wool that's unraveling on my palate as we drink it. So I think there's plenty of drinking pleasure in this glass to go. Spice, amazing.
Colleen, yeah. you were leaning forward eagerly as if you wanted to join in.
This wine makes you sit upright, that's why. I don't think I've heard Michael use so many wonderful words as descriptors, as in beautiful and elegant, and it's just voluptuous and all these lovely descriptors, which is really what this wine is. It is voluptuous and beautiful and giving. And I agree that this wine is maybe a bit young for a certain kind of a palate maybe, but it's already drinking beautifully now. In fact, it's a lot, the style of Syrah that they make is a lot softer than a lot of Syrahs that we got used to in South Africa. A lot of them were sort of heavily oaked and heavily extracted, and we kind of got used to that style. This is the other style. This is the elegant Syrah style. When we speak about elegance in Syrah, this is it. Where there's perfume on the nose. It's not just dark berries and spice. You get this perfume note, which makes it so beautiful. And then the same thing on that finish, that beautiful taut dry finish, which just pulls it all nicely together, make your mouth water, and then you take the next sip.
Well, from elegance to Chris Gilmore.
Ooh.
Now, how would you like me to respond to that, John?
Tell us what you think of the wine, Chris.
You know, a lot of spicy, smoky flavour I pick up there as well. Very deep, very complex, a lovely, lovely wine. No, this is super wine.
Jeremy Sampson.
John, I'm just thinking that I'm hearing that the current vintage of the Swartland is going to be down about 50% because of drought. I'm thinking, what a terrible thing to think about, because we're going to have to buy up more of this wine, stock up, because it'll be very difficult to get next year's vintage. And I'm sure the prices are going to go up as well. But I have to say that I can't add really to what everyone else is saying. I know you're going to try and cut me off now. But when did you last stick your nose right in a glass of wine and take a really deep breath? And I mean a deep breath. See how long you can actually inhale.
I prefer to drink it.
Well, that comes later, John. You know, this is part of the seduction. But to actually give it a good swirl, put your nose in and then breathe in for about 10 seconds. It's absolutely stunning. And the one fruit I would add that Michael hasn't mentioned, although I agree with him totally, is damsons. You know, coming from England just before Christmas in a certain upmarket store in Johannesburg called Thrupp's, I came across a jar of damson jam. And I have to say, I wasn't disappointed. And this wine would have gone alongside it. And a nice plate of cheese, absolutely beautifully.
Well, Michael, now we know that seduction is all about putting your nose in there and sniffing a lot. I'm sure that our listeners will be delighted to learn that from our good friend, Mr. Sampson. Unfortunately, although we will be back very soon, we've run out of time for this particular podcast tasting. So many thanks to Michael Olivier. Michael, lovely as always to chat to you.
John, thank you.
And to our studio guests, Jeremy Sampson, Chris Gilmore, and our two lady experts, Debbie van Flymen and Colleen Morris. I'm John Fraser, and that was Divine Intervention.